Charlie for outstanding job of leading us in song as we blended our voices together in praise to our Almighty God. Thank you, Aaron, for the prayer that you led us in a few moments ago. And again, thank each and every one of you for your presence here this evening as we've gathered together once again to worship our Almighty God in spirit and in truth. I'd like to invite everyone to keep an open Bible as we prepare to take some time to talk about demands of discipleship. And did you know that there are some demands of discipleship? You see, the word disciple means a follower or a student of a teacher, a learner, or a pupil. However, it is also important to know that the word disciple, when used in the scriptures, involves much more than the modern idea of being just a student of a teacher. For the biblical concept of discipleship emphasizes the student-teacher relationship. And when I talk about the teacher-student relationship or the student-teacher relationship, I'm talking about the relationship between Jesus Christ, the master teacher, and his followers. And it teaches us that a disciple is to be a devoted supporter and follower of their teacher. And they must be willing to accept the teachings of their teacher and be willing to adapt to their teacher's way of life. That's what's involved in being disciples of Jesus Christ. And it's important that we understand the demands of discipleship that have been laid out for those of us who seek to follow Jesus. For as we have learned, there are demands of discipleship. And we must know those demands of discipleship if we are truly going to be one who follows Jesus. And I want to spend just the next few minutes talking about and reminding us this evening about some demands of discipleship. And I begin by reminding us of the fact that we must deny self. Did you know that's one of the first demands of discipleship? If one chooses to truly follow Jesus, one of the first things that's going to be required of them is they are going to have to deny self. We learn about that throughout the gospel accounts. We learn there in Matthew 16:24, Luke 9:23 about this. We also learn about it in Mark 8:34. But for time's sake this evening, I just want us to take a look there at Matthew 16 and in verse number 24. And there in Matthew 16, verse 24, notice these words of Jesus with me. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Think about that. Jesus made it very clear that if one desires to follow him, what is going to be required of them? They're going to have to deny self. Simply put, Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to deny self. You're going to have to put away your selfish desires and ambitions, and you're going to have to choose to follow me and my will. And if we are going to be a people who truly follow Jesus, we must be a people who deny self. We must be a people who put away our selfish desires and ambitions and truly be devoted to doing the will of Jesus. When I think about being one who denies self, being one who is truly committed to following Jesus, I can't help but to think about the example of the Apostle Paul. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, Paul gives us an example that we should follow in regard to denying self and following Jesus. Notice these words of Paul with me, found recorded there in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. And there in Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice that. Notice what Paul said there. Paul said, I no longer live for self. But he says he lives for who? The one who loved him and gave himself for him. That being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a good example of denying self, isn't it? And Paul truly was one who did just that. Paul was one who denied self. Paul was one who no longer lived for Paul, but rather lived for Jesus Christ, the one whom Paul said loved me and gave himself for me. And by the way, did you notice that? Paul made the sacrifice of Jesus Christ personal, didn't he? He made it personal. He said he loved me and gave himself for me. And you want to know something, brother? When we, like the Apostle Paul, make the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ personal, when we make it personal, when we take it personal, we too will be better equipped to be a people who deny self and live for Christ. But I also suggest to us, in regard to another demand of discipleship, that we must be willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that if we're going to truly be followers of Jesus, we must be prepared to suffer for the cause of Christ? You see, we learn about this being a demand of discipleship, specifically there in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 22. And here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 22, notice these words of Jesus with me. Jesus says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Think about that. Here Jesus is telling his disciples, "Hey, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be one who's going to suffer many things. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to be killed. But I'm going to be raised." And then I want you to notice what he goes on to tell his disciples, picking up here in verse 23 of Mark 9. He goes on to say, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Verse 24, he says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Let that sink in for a moment. Jesus, again, makes it very clear that he's going to suffer many things. And then he tells his disciples, if you desire to come and follow me, you too need to be prepared to suffer. Did you catch that? He made that very clear there in verse number 24 when he says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Jesus is aware of the fact that following me is not going to be easy. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows following me, but rather it's going to be at times difficult. There's going to be times when you are going to suffer. There's going to be times when you are going to be persecuted. You need to know that, and you need to be prepared for that. Jesus goes on to say, as we learn there in Luke chapter 14, and verse number 27. Turn over there with me, Will, in your Bibles there to Luke chapter 14. And notice these words here in Luke chapter 14 and in verse number 27. Jesus said, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You want to know something? In regard to the cross and what it represents, the cross represents shame and suffering. And here Jesus made it very clear in Luke 14, verse 27. He said, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Again, we see very clearly here that if we're going to follow Jesus, we must be prepared and willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. And sadly, not all are up to that task. Sadly, there are some today when they start to get made fun of or start to get persecuted for being a disciple of Jesus, they're like, "That's it, I'm done. I don't want no part of this if that's what's involved." We need to be aware of that, don't we? And we need to be mindful. If we're truly going to follow Jesus, we must be prepared to suffer just as Jesus suffered many things. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about Paul's recorded words there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 12. You remember what Paul said there? He said, if anyone desires to live godly in Christ Jesus, guess what's going to happen to them? They're going to suffer persecution. Paul made that very clear. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, Paul says they will suffer persecution. Guess what? That means you and me. Paul didn't say some of us who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. No, he said all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We need to be prepared for that. Now, the persecution that we may experience today doesn't even compare to what the disciples of Jesus experienced in the first century, does it? At this point in time, we're free to worship. We're free to be able to express our religious convictions to others. We're free to do that at this time. Now, that may change. God forbid that that ever happens. But it could happen. But Jesus' disciples in the first century, they were getting killed for the cause of Christ. And believe it or not, even in some third world countries, there's Christians in third world countries who still this very day are getting killed, persecuted to the point to where they're losing their head for the cause of Christ. But we need to be mindful of the fact that if we are going to be one who truly follows Jesus, we're going to have to be a people who not only deny self, but also are willing to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord. But I also suggest to us, as we consider another demand of discipleship, that one must love Jesus Christ more than anyone else, including self. Did you know that? Did you know that if we're going to be one who truly follows Jesus, Jesus must take first place in our lives? We must love him more than anyone or anything else. And Jesus makes that very clear there in Matthew chapter 10. Go with me, if you will, your Bibles there to Matthew the 10th chapter. And here in Matthew chapter 10, let's just begin reading here in verse number 34. Here in Matthew 10, in verse 34, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." Now pay attention to verse 37. Because Jesus said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Let those words sink in. Because here Jesus makes it very clear that those who put people, even family, father, mother, son or daughter, before him, that they're not worthy of him. We have a parallel passage to this passage found here in Matthew 10, there in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. And notice these words of Jesus in regard to this topic here in Luke 14 and verse 26. Notice what Jesus says here. Here Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." That's some pretty strong language, isn't it? But you want to know something? That word hate, it has different meaning. And that word hate here, Jesus isn't saying that we are to despise our father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters itself. That's not what he's saying. But actually, you know what that word hate there in the context means? It means to love less. And the point Jesus is making is, if you decide to be my disciple, if you're going to be one who makes the decision to come after me and follow me, you must love less father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and your own self also. Again, Jesus is simply demanding first place in one's life. And if we are going to be a people who truly follow Jesus, we are going to have to be a people who put Jesus number one in our life at all times. We're going to have to be a people who express our love greater toward Him than for anyone else, including self. But I also suggest to us, as we can continue to consider demands of discipleship, another demand of discipleship is one must follow and abide, that is, remain or continue in, the teachings of Jesus Christ. We learn about that there in John, the 8th chapter. And there in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, notice what Jesus said. He said, if you abide in my word, you are what? My disciples indeed. He goes on to say there in verse number 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Think about that. Jesus made it very clear that if we're going to be a people who are going to follow Him, we're going to have to abide. That is, we're going to have to continue in His teachings. And we follow Christ today by abiding in His teachings. And Jesus, speaking to those who believed in Him in the first century, made this very clear, that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, there is no way that one can truly be a disciple of Jesus Christ without following and abiding in His teachings. Not going to happen. You're not going to be truly a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. You see, we learn there in 2 John and in verse number 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that is the teachings of Christ, does not have God. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Let that sink in. John made it very clear that whoever transgresses the teachings of Christ, he says, they don't have God. That's serious, isn't it? That's very serious. But on the flip side of that coin, he says, those who abide in the doctrine of Christ as both the Father and the Son. And if we're going to be a people who follow Jesus, we must be one who follows and abides in all that He has said to do. When I think about that, I'm mindful of the words of Jesus found recorded there in John chapter 14, verse number 15. Remember what Jesus said there? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. We go on to see there, John 15, verse 14, Jesus said, you are my friends if you keep my commandments. And if we truly are going to be one who expresses our love towards Jesus, we're going to have to be one who keeps His commandments. We're going to have to be one who follows and abides in the teachings of Christ. But here's another demand of discipleship to share with you this evening. And that is, we must love the brother. You see, before Jesus departed from His chosen disciples, He commanded them to love one another as He had loved them. And we learn about this demand of discipleship there in John the 13th chapter. And there in John chapter 13, beginning here in verse number 34, notice this command of Jesus. Here in John 13, verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. What is that, Jesus? Well, notice, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And He tells us why that's important there in verse number 35. When He says, by this, that is by us expressing our love towards one another, He says, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Think about that. You see, I've often said that our expression of love towards one another serves as our badge of discipleship. And we can see that right here, can't we? We can see that here in verse number 35 when Jesus says, by you expressing your love for one another, He says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Just by spending the afternoon with the brethren here at Owensboro, I can tell you you truly have love for one another. It's evident. And it reminds me of this verse here. It reminds me of verse 35 when Jesus said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You're doing a good job of doing that, brother. Keep it up. Knowing that it is a demand of discipleship. But I also suggest to us another demand of discipleship. And that is, one must bear fruit. We learn about this demand of discipleship there in John the 15th chapter. And there in John chapter 15, as good Bible students, you're familiar with the allegory that Jesus gives here of the vine and the branches. And this allegory, or as I like to put it, word picture that Jesus gives here about the vine, the true vine, and the vine dresser and the branches, he's talking about how he is the vine and we are the branches. And if we're going to be a people who bear fruit, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to abide in him, aren't we? We're going to have to abide in the vine. And he goes on to say, and I just want to pick up here in verse 5 of John 15. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." He says in verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me," Jesus says, "and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now watch verse 8. Because Jesus says, "By this, my Father is glorified." How is that, Jesus? "That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Think about that. You see, that's a demand of discipleship. We're going to have to be a people who bear fruit. And we can do that in a variety of ways. The fruit we are to produce can include good deeds, as we see there in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse number 16, and in Matthew 25 verses 34 through 40. It also can include fruitful progress in spiritual growth, as we see in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 5 and 8. And those are just a few examples of what it can look like to bear fruit. But if we are truly going to be Jesus' disciples, we're going to have to be a people who bear fruit, never forgetting that our Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. And by doing so, Jesus says, "So you will be my disciples." But one more demand of discipleship to share with you this afternoon. And that is, we must be willing to make a lifelong commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus made it very clear that if one is going to follow him, they must continue to the end. They must be one who is committed faithfully unto death. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of Jesus found recorded for us there in Luke chapter 9 and verse number 62. And notice what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Think about that. You see, again, we must not be a people who choose to follow Jesus, and then as we're going along, as we put our hand to the plow, so to speak, we decide to look back. We must not do that. We must be a people who continue to always keep on keeping on. We must be a people, when we decide to follow Jesus, we are truly committed to following him for life. We must not have any regrets. We must never look back and have regret. But rather, we must always continue to put our hand to the plow, always looking ahead, knowing that those who do look back, Jesus says, are not fit for the kingdom of God. Simply put, brother, we need to be mindful of the fact that when we make a decision to follow Jesus, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to be mindful of the need to be committed to following Jesus for life. Jesus made that very clear there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. And there in the context of Revelation 2:10, he's addressing the persecuted church, those who are being severely persecuted for their faith. But as he's addressing them, what words of encouragement did he leave them with there in the latter part of verse 10 of Revelation 2? Be thou faithful unto what? Death. And Jesus says, and I will give thee a crown of life. You want to know when Jesus says, be thou faithful unto death? Jesus is simply telling us we need to be faithful even to the point if it's going to cost us our head. We need to continue to be faithful to him, no matter what. And he says, by doing so, you will be rewarded. I will give thee a crown of life. Think about that. And if we're going to be a people who are truly going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must do things on his terms, not on our terms. We must put him first every day and every aspect of our lives. And we must be fully committed to serving him and to abiding in his instructions to the end. Once more, there are demands of discipleship. However, if we are willing to meet the demands of discipleship, we will be greatly rewarded in the end. So now I ask, what about you? Are you willing to meet the demands of discipleship? Are you? If not, why not? For if there would happen to be one here this evening who has not yet committed themselves to the Lord of Israel, you have an opportunity to do that this very hour. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you too can become a disciple of Jesus this very hour. And as we talked about, we need to continue to remember the need to keep on keeping on, the need to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 2, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there is one or more among us tonight who's already submitted themselves to the Lord and his will, but maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour by confessing your sins to God, asking him for his forgiveness. And if there would be one here this evening, it'd be something the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your name may be, won't you let that name be made known now while we stand and sing the song Charlie's Love.